In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell. Steve.
Hey,
hey. Hey, Steve.
Hey.
I'm glad we finally got to make the connection here, because I had heard you talking about my mate Jason Statham the other week, and I wish I could have been in the studio to...
Were you a diving buddy?
With Jace? Yeah, me and Jace, we go way back. Yeah. Diving?
Statham? Hardly even know him.
That blew me away when you said that he was a diver. Was that true?
Mm.
He was like professional Olympic-style diver.
Yep.
Yes.
Commonwealth Games, New Zealand.
The way you said yep there just didn't lend itself to a lot of confidence.
Well, just go on the internet then, because everything there is true.
I don't want to go on the fucking internet again.
Just don't say please and thank you when you're using your language models.
Oh, yes, yes.
Don't boil the planet any more than you need to. Hey, speaking of boiled planets... This is going to be my segue actually out of the intro. It's like, oh, Spartacus, that's kind of like Pompeii. And speaking of boiled planets, Pompeii got a bit boiled there, didn't it?
This is a real stretch.
I got boiled on Friday night because I had, sorry, Thursday night. It was fake Friday last week. It was the night before Anzac Day.
Yes, that's Friday.
And so on fake Friday, I rocked up to IMAX for Pink Floyd at Pompeii. IMAX.
Yes. I've actually seen you talking about this on social media a little bit. Yeah. It seemed like you were boiled to the gills.
I was boiled to the gills. This is shot in 1971. I'll preface this. I fucking hate Pink Floyd. Don't like them. I don't like the bloat. Don't like what I think it is probably so far from what it began as. I don't care.
But Steve,
I like Mojo Magazine, F off. I don't care.
Steve, haven't you ever done a tab of acid and listened to The Wall back to back? The whole thing? Isn't that the whole thing you're supposed to do when you're 16?
I've done one of those things.
And it wasn't listening to I haven't listened to The Wall beyond, you know, the Wally bits.
So the era of Pink Floyd that is captured here is sort of as Roger Waters, who really kind of controlled the band through those years of The Wall, etc. So he hasn't quite got his grip on it yet. It's not quite his band.
Mm.
Sid Barrett's left. They don't talk about Sid in this movie. This is, for clarity, it's kind of, some people pitch it as a concert film. It's kind of just a music movie, I guess I'd say. It's a documentary, but it's not heavy on interviews. Band members speak to camera a little bit. There is a lot of performance in it, but it's kind of a nice kind of 70s melange of stuff.
Mm.
But really, it centers around this ludicrous idea to go to the amphitheater at the ruined city of Pompeii, set up Pink Floyd on the ground, put backline behind them, get some dolly tracks and a camera crane in, get a crew of about 10 people and film them play to no one. And it's fucking awesome.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, it's real, really cool. A huge part of that is... shooting a band playing in 1971 on film just looks good.
It would
good.
Look amazing at Pompeii too. Yeah,
totally. It's real. I mean, it's real trippy because of where it is. The disconnect between who you're watching and where they are is really, really cool. And the style of music they're playing, it's like, man, yeah, Pink Floyd, big kind of bloat dad rock band.
Mm.
But the trickle down from what they're doing in this film to so much of the guitar stuff you might like right now, there is a through line. Big old through line. And there's a reason why this film has been kind of memed and homaged so extensively. The most overt example of that being the Beastie Boys video for Gratitude, which was shot in Rotorua and just lifts, like the whole thing is a reference to Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii.
Hmm.
From shot choices to the camera dollying behind the band's backline, stenciled Pink Floyd London. It's like, yeah, can we get it? You're from London. Stop showing off.
Didn't like King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard also do a sort of, I mean, I'm not sure because I haven't seen the film, but a similar, you know, playing in an amphitheater in ruins with the dollies circling around them.
Bound to. Jeff the Brotherhood have a music video that exactly kind of replicates a bunch of the shots. Ty Siegel did a whole performance kind of shot in a very similar way. Hey, the bad news is this is no longer in IMAX in Auckland unless they start adding some more sessions. But the format for this, it got remastered, the audio got remastered, sound was quadraphonically panning around the room.
Ooh.
It looked incredible on the big screen, it sounded great loud. Maybe this is just a preaching to the choir, but this is a highly recommended music movie. Took a couple of pals and who all had varying levels of acquaintanceship with Pink Floyd or what they're about to watch. The one who knew the least arguably enjoyed it the most. So this is well worth seeking out because it's had a remaster, because they're issuing the soundtrack on vinyl, because they're selling merch. Inevitably, this will be coming to some kind of a streaming service. But I would encourage you to just keep an eye out if they do add some more screenings at IMAX here in Auckland. Yeah, it's a superb experience. Best time I've had at the cinema for ages.
Wow.
Yeah,
really, it'll really be good. Amazing on the IMAX, even if you're not a Pink Floyd fan. I mean, it just looks so
There's interstitial segments where they're having lunch in the canteen at Abbey Road, I think.
Is it at Pompeii?
Yeah, the Pompeii canteen. Custard pie, thanks, love. It's just inane. Like, it's really kind of Spinal Tap inanity, what they've got to say.
I was going to ask, is there a Spinal Tap-ishness to the film?
Well, Spinal Tap being the best documentary about the music industry.
Yeah.
Even though it's not a documentary, there is, you know, I think any music film will have some Spinal Tap in it.
Mm, sure.
I guess they'd like to think so.
Can I tell you my Roger Waters story?
Oh, yes, please.
I didn't meet Roger Waters. I was playing Paul at Ponsonby Paul Hall. Shout out Ponsonby Paul Hall. And this shambling man walked into the Ponsonby Paul Hall, and I turned to my friend and said, "Oh, look at this Roger Waters guy walking in here." And I looked again and I was like, "Wait, that is Roger Waters." And his entourage came in and they all played Paul two tables over from us. The Paul Hall was totally empty. But you know what really clinched it for me? Is he took his shoes off. And I was like, "Get out of here with your shoes off, Roger Waters. You can't take your shoes off in this Paul Hall. What do you think about that?" And then the worst part, Steve, he returned the white ball because I couldn't overhear what he was saying, but he took the white ball back and it looked like he was complaining about its sphericalness.
Hmm. He's got some interesting views. Being a movie theatre, it's not really a good place for lots of chitter-chatter, but I did force someone to suppress a lot of laughter in a very quiet part of the film by going, "Look, Roger Waters is really sad. It's because of how much he hates the Jews."
Oh, God.
A massive anti-Semite, Roger Waters. Anyway, Pink Floyd at Pompeii. Good times.
Beautiful.
Good times. Oh, the other thing I learnt was a couple of friends started clapping after the songs, and no one else did. It was an extremely quiet and stoned audience.
Right.
Surprise, surprise. But I learned that night that the funniest number of people to clap in a room is two people.
Yeah.
Because one person's just misguided, but two people, like, something's happening.
Yeah.
And they couldn't make anyone else clap either. So it wasn't sarcastic clapping. It was just
not all the way there.
Confined. Yeah.
We've had a few texts. Someone says, "Statham competed in the 1990 Commonwealth Games in Auckland." Thank you, internet, for that. And someone else says, "Hi, Pink Floyd movie used to play at Charlie Gray's Capitol in Balmoral twice a year."
Well, bloody good on them.
Bloody good on them. I'm surprised we didn't hear any complaints about you saying Pink Floyd bloat. I'm sure there are some Pink Floyd. If you're a Pink Floyd fan, send us a text 53955.
I mean, they do talk about how much they like money during this film. So
right,
it's sort of foreshadowing a few things to come there. Hey, I saw a few other music-related things.
Did you?
The first one we should mention is the Marlon Williams documentary.
Yes.
Ngā Aotearoa, Two Worlds. This is in cinemas from tomorrow. Had its world premiere last night at the Civic. Documents Marlon as he makes Te Whare Te Weka Weka, his Tadeo album. Shot over about 4 years. It's great to spend the amount of, like a feature film amount of time with Marlon. Mm. Interesting in that he's got a really interesting relationship with the camera. You know, he's been really, I guess, controlling that relationship for such a long time that it's interesting, and there must have been a whole bunch of challenges with making a documentary with someone that's so camera savvy.
Mm-hmm.
But the most sort of gentle and unforced moments of it are pretty reflective. It does create a picture where, if you're watching this from overseas, you would think that everyone in Aotearoa lives in very small, seaside, beautiful, picturesque environments, or maybe has mountains in the backyard.
Yeah.
But setting that aside, and if you are listening from overseas...
Is it all shot in Littleton, is it?
Yes, that's true. There's some Glenorchy, some Littleton, some this, some
okay.
That.
Okay, all right.
I enjoyed the time that it takes to unveil the creative process a bit. The creative process, putting music on screen, showing people have that songwriting moment, it's always disastrous.
Yeah.
The one I always think about is Paul Dano as Brian Wilson sitting down and suddenly he's like making genius Beach Boys compositions in his piano in his sandpit. But the reality is far more mundane than that,
yeah.
Right? It's like you're sort of just chipping away and chipping away. So in the context of this film, that kind of slow chipping away makes much more sense. Marlon spending time with Commie, his Tadeo advisor, I guess, want of a better word. They're spending a lot of time on their phones and their thesauruses, you know, while they're making songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really lovely shot, really thoughtful documentary. It does echo in some ways the sort of journeys that people in the Waiata Anthems TV series go on. That's a reckoning with their own relationship with Te Reo Māori and Te Reo Māori. But there's lots of great stuff to discover. And yeah, it's just he's a winning personality to spend 90 minutes with.
Yeah, I mean, he really, in terms of seeing him in other films, he has such charisma that just comes straight through the lens, straight into your eye. I was going to say, on the back of talking about the Marlon Williams film, if you'd like to win a double pass to that, I'll be giving away a double pass between 5 and 6. So stay savvy.
Oh yeah, I'll keep listening.
Okay, all right. Well, Steve, you can't win that. Nice try.
Okay.
You've already seen it.
Oh, look. Other music-related films. Ryan Coogler's Sinners. Have you had a chance to see Sinners?
God, yet? I can't get away from the epic online presence of the film, but I haven't seen anything about it besides the posters and people saying it's the best movie they've ever seen.
Have you just been seeing Tom Cruise posting about it over and over again? Tom Cruise posting once about it, but everyone else putting that in front of us.
I don't follow Tom Cruise, but I can believe that.
You don't follow Tom Cruise. He's a. Let me catch you up.
Catch me up, please, Steve.
Movie star.
Oh, about Tom Cruise. I thought you meant about the movie.
No, he's a movie star.
He's a what?
He's been doing quite well for himself. Some personal belief stuff that we don't talk about so much anymore.
I loved him in those James Bond movies that he did, that he got famous for.
Yeah, those are the ones. I really enjoyed Sinners. I didn't think it was necessarily as much of a huge slam dunk as maybe some of the other internet is thinking, but it's a very good movie. It's a very good original movie. It's a music-infused vampire pick. Michael B. Jordan plays brothers. He plays twins. So that's always a bit of a risk when you're doing the old fancy doubling, but it works pretty well. And it's the music really soars in this film. It's a huge part of it. But what's sort of also noteworthy about it is we're in this era where existing IP is just steamrolling everything, and not necessarily for huge income, but just it's the accepted wisdom that we need to show people what they already know. You could maybe say a vampire pick is that kind of, right? In a rare event for a blockbuster, it's holding its audience week to week in terms of box office. In the US, for instance, it dropped 14% from its opening weekend, which is you'd normally see three or four times that big of a drop. So word of mouth is good on it. I'm going to be part of that. Go see Sinners. Put a few bucks on the counter at the movie theater. It is worth encouraging Hollywood to make more decent movies.
Ah, lovely.
I mean, not decent not indecent, but good movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're not talking about
Make indecent movies, but also make good indecent movies would be my personal preference.
Beautifully put, Steve. Beautifully
I'm going to stop there.
Is that enough? Sinners, a big screen film you'd like to see at the cinema or streamable?
Big screen film, shot on IMAX or shot for IMAX.
Oh, okay.
Goes the full height of the screen a few times. It's a big screen movie.
Cool.
It's a watch with a chunk of people movie.
Beautiful.
I think like any horror or any film that's going to kind of get some a bit of a chemical reaction from the audience, that's only going to be contagious in a cinema setting.
We've had a text. Someone says, "Great film. What a beautiful soul he is." And I can only assume Melissa is talking about Michael B. Jordan. And somebody's asked for a birthday shout out. Yes, I can do a birthday shout out. Happy birthday to Pep, who turns 14 today.
Woo!
Well done, Pep. Steve, thank you so much for Flicks and that.
I thought you were the beautiful soul.
Ah,
I mean, you could have said me.
I'd like to think so. Missed opportunity.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.